I want to bring a word this morning. I really believe, who believes that? And I know if you've been in church a long time, you've probably heard the same old, Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. But I don't know about you, but we're seeing a manifestation of things happening in these days more than ever before in society, in the world. The church seems to be up in arms about certain things that are happening. By the way, if you're not registered for voting, I would recommend you get registered for the vote and stand for righteousness. And we have to be a voice in this hour more than ever before. But that should not still not perturb me. I still believe no matter what happens, God is in control. I still believe God will have His way. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. I believe that. The Bible actually says, before the great day of the Lord, the days shall be like a Sodom and Gomorrah, like the days of Noah. I'm not surprised by it. In fact, it excites me, because all it's doing is fulfilling prophecy. Amen. What we do have to be concerned about, it doesn't infiltrate the church. That's what we have to be worried about, that I don't take on its standards. Amen. But we lift up the standard of the Lord. Amen. One of the first things we can do is vote right. Vote no. Is that clear? I hope so. This morning I want to talk quite a somber word. I want to talk about repentance this morning. Repentance. It's actually, the title of my message is Stones and Bread. Stones and Bread. I think as a church we've got to realize and understand as the body of Christ, I want to define repentance before I start anything. Repentance is not sorrow. I say that again, repentance is not sorrow. I've heard many Christians say, sorry God, and move on. That is not repentance. Repentance is not a feeling of mourning and crying. Yet it can accompany repentance. Tears can accompany repentance. The feeling of sorrow can accompany repentance. A feeling of regret can accompany repentance. But them things alone are not repentance. Repentance literally means to change one's heart and one's mind towards the conviction of God. Sometimes that doesn't even involve an emotion. It involves a decision. Repentance is actually a conviction and a decision that you will be obedient to what God requires of you. Therefore, you have to do some changing. I have to do some changing. Repentance means to turn away from, in mind and in heart. In mind and in heart. It's a decision I have to come to through the conviction of the Holy Ghost, which I know will please God. So when I say, sorry God, sorry is just the beginning. In fact, let's be frank. Sorry is just an acknowledgement of your wrong. That's all it is. Repentance is the change of your heart, not sorry. Amen? And repentance will always have fruit. If there's no fruit, there's no repentance. We're going to get tight here tonight, this morning, but that's okay. We need to hear it. I think the church has moved away from repentance, but without repentance, there's no refreshing. Without repentance, there's no refreshing. Repentance, there's no blotting out. No blotting out. It says, repent that your sins may be what? Blotted out. To blot out means what? It means it can't be read again. Been blotted out. Ink, like ink, covering a word. It's blotted out. Repentance is acknowledging God's right and I'm wrong. Repentance is not about people. You don't repent on someone's behalf. Repentance is purely about you. It's the conviction. It's the stirring. It's the acknowledgement of. It's the revealing of. In fact, it's not just the revealing of, it's the humbling of. That you're acknowledging where you're wrong to what God requires of us in righteousness. Amen? And I think sometimes, and may I say this, repentance is a gift. Don't take repentance lightly. Repentance is a gift. Some people in the Bible sought repentance with tears and couldn't find it. They sought it. They sought it out. But they couldn't find it. Repentance is a gift. Turn with me to Matthew 4, and we're going to read from 1 to 17. So what is repentance? To turn away from. A change of what? Heart and mind. A change of both heart and mind. It's not sorry. It's not feeling sorry. It's not emotion. It's a decision with a conviction. Amen? And it should show fruit. That's why the Bible says, by their fruits you shall. It should reveal fruit in my life. If there's something happening between me and my wife and I say sorry, sorry is acknowledgement. I need to repent. Sometimes repentance is acknowledging the person I've hurt and going to them to make it right. Sometimes. Then she would expect to see fruit. No fruit, no repentance. Has to be fruit. Matthew 4, verse 1 to 17 is talking about the three temptations of Christ. Who understands that when Jesus went to the waters of baptism, did Jesus have sin? Did he have to repent? No, he didn't. He was showing us a way. He was showing us instruction. In fact, it says in Acts that the baptism of John was a baptism of what? Of repentance. It was not just a baptism of water saying of death, burial, resurrection, and repentance. It's a baptism of repentance. Jesus was showing them that we have to have a continual baptism of what? Repentance. Too many times we go to the stream and say, God, give us a drink. But instead of getting a drink, what we should be saying sometimes is, Lord, bury me. Baptize me afresh. Teach me to repent. Lord, it's not about them. Repentance is so individual, so personal. It's all about you. In fact, your repentance shouldn't even mention another person's name. It's all about you. What you're thinking wrong. How you're acting wrong. By the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So if you're going to God in repentance saying, God, change them, help them, do this to them, it's not repentance. It's not repentance at all. In fact, you're eating the bread of the earth. Because it's all about you. It's all about us blaming someone else. Are you with me this morning? Good. Hold on tight. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the what? Into the wilderness. He was baptized. He went in the water. He didn't have to repent. He was showing us a way. He was showing us instruction through the baptism. He never had to repent. There was no sin in him. But he was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit. Sometimes your spiritual wilderness is not the devil. Yeah. Sometimes your spiritual wilderness experience is not the devil. Sometimes it's God getting you alone so he can deal with your heart. Sometimes it's getting you alone so he can see what's in your heart. And you need to see what's in your heart. Deuteronomy 8 verse 1 to 3 tells us that. If you want to know what's in your heart, God will teach you and show you what is in your heart. In fact, he says, you hungered, you thirsted, and I have made you hunger and thirst to show you what was in your own heart. And in fact, in other words, says, yeah, he said he humbled you. Sometimes in the testing and sometimes in the trials of life, God will get us on a mountaintop, empowered, filled with the Holy Ghost. I know I've got the Holy Ghost, but I'm not walking in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost to overcome. It's in that place that he's teaching me that he is God. Amen? It says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was what? I'd be hungry. Probably 4 days I'd be hungry. He lasted 40. He lasted 40. God bless him. And 40 nights and afterwards was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, when did the tempter come? After he was what? It's when we have an appetite for something, the tempter always comes. It could be the things of the spirit or it could be the things of the flesh. Things of the flesh, the tempter will come. If you're hungering for things, the tempter will come. If you're hungering for the things of the spirit, guess what? The tempter will still come. He will want to tempt you so you don't get full of the power and the anointing of the spirit and stay in a wilderness experience. He will come. He will test what is within you. He will challenge your walk. He will challenge your mindset. And He will challenge your heart. Because He does not want a people that are full of the Holy Ghost. Because when a man or a woman are full of the Holy Ghost, they are dangerous. Because immediately they're not mindful of the things of themselves, they're mindful of the kingdom of God. Immediately Jesus came down from the mountain, He preached a word that had been familiar to the Jews, because another man had been preaching the same word, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. John died. Jesus picked up the same word. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus died. He's rose again. Guess what? He's waiting for someone to pick up the same call. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because it's all about kingdom principles. So the testing comes. The devil came to Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. In other words, satisfy your hunger, Jesus. Satisfy your need. Command these stones to become bread. Jesus answered him with the word. He says, man shall not live. He was fulfilling prophecy. He was fulfilling Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? How many words? In other words, you can't pick and choose what you want to fulfill God, follow God with. In other words, every word that comes out of His mouth, I must become obedient to. Whether I like it or not. Every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Not some words. Oh, I like that prophecy, but I don't like that. Oh, God, I can surrender this, but don't ask me to surrender that. Every word I must become obedient to. The first test is, he challenged him, who are you? And what are you prepared to do? Are you the servant of God? Are you a slave of God? Are you a servant of yourself? Jesus challenged the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He actually rebuked them. John actually rebuked them. And he said this, you brood of vipers, who told you to repent? Yeah, if you ever break that down, and this is quite tough, but if you ever break that word brood of vipers down, you know what it actually means? You sons of the serpent. You sons of the serpent, who told you to repent? They were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, we have Abraham as our father. They didn't want to repent. What they were relying upon is their past experience or their past, what they thought God had done for them. Too many Christians are not repenting because they believe Jesus is going to cover all their sins anyway. Oh, it's already. I said sorry about that. That's cool. Now, He loves me enough to forgive me. But you've got to know that when you repent, He wants to blot out the sin. Please don't cheapen the blood by just saying sorry. Please don't cheapen what Jesus done on the cross by just saying sorry. Seek repentance. Repentance means God, your word, every word. I want to obey God. No matter what I'm fighting within me, I surrender it to you. God, grace me to overcome my battle. God, help me. Empower me to see this thing through. God, I said I'm going to fast. I'm going to be a man of my word. I'm going to fast. God, I said I'm going to say sorry to that person. I'm going to say sorry to that person. God, I'm going to humble myself. It's all about me. Repentance. And I think too many saints are looking at other people and say, well, you know, if you only understood what they've done, that is not repentance. They could have done something absolutely abhorrent, horrible. They could have treated you really bad. They could have said things that are just shocking. They've got to find repentance. But how I react is what I've got to deal with. My reaction, my words, my thoughts, my heart attitude. Because He needs me to come down from the mountain, Luke chapter 4, not just filled with the Holy Spirit, but full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came down from the mountain full of power. Hear me, the world needs to see a demonstration of His power. Amen? And it's going to take people that are prepared to be repentant, penitent hearts before the Lord. It's private, it's confidential, it's intimate, it's sacred before God, and it's between you and Him alone. And when you do it, there's a refreshing, there's a releasing, there's a breaking, there's a chain destroying. The prison door's been opened and you have been set free. Repentance is not just something I'm flippant. No. I'll tell you a little story. I was born again for about 4 or 5 years. And I was in a very matriarchal church. Do you know what I mean by that? All women. It's all women. It's about 4 blokes and about 25 women. I mean, praying, intercessory, loving God, sold out, Jesus type women. And I didn't fit. Because I wasn't really like that then. And I felt as every time I walked in, they could read my mail. They looked at me and some of them gave me a look that wasn't conducive to what I thought. They should just love me. And one day the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and I went to the front. And I'm on my knees crying to God. And these 4 elderly women were behind me. Lord, let them find that repentance. After about 20 minutes, which I thought was a great, a really long time, I tried to get up. This heavy hand went on my shoulder. He ain't finished yet, son. So I didn't know what else to say because I ran out of words. I didn't know what else to talk about because I'd run out of words. About 10 minutes later, that seemed an awful long time, I tried to get up again. He ain't finished with you yet, son. They're praying, I'm praying. After a period of time, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Tears started to flow. I wept because He was telling me, showing me things in my life that only He knew. And all of a sudden, them 4 women weren't there. They sat down. And all she said to me was this, "You found it, son." I found repentance. So intimate. So cleansing. So liberating. And I thanked them for that. I didn't thank them for pushing me down. I didn't thank them for making me stay where I didn't want to stay initially. But I do thank them for this, that they were sensitive enough in the Holy Ghost to love me and keep me in that place of repentance. Repentance is not a dirty word. It's a gift. So there was Jesus saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God." He tempts him again. And says, "If you're the Son of God, jump from this pinnacle, for it's said that the angels have charge over you, and you lest you dash your foot against the stone." In other words, show off. He said, "Man, what did he say? The word says what? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The third temptation was this. He never said, "If you are the Son of God," in the third temptation. He said, "If you worship me, all this and all the glory I will give to you." And then Jesus rebuked him with such a strong rebuke. "Away with you, Satan, for you shall worship the Lord thy God. In Him alone." He didn't ask him if he was after the second time. Because Jesus was so strong in the word. So humbled. So walking in humility. So knowing who he was in Christ. Who he was in the Father. That he didn't have to be proven anymore. And immediately that happened, it said the devil left, and who came? Angels. Hallelujah. May I say this? When you humble yourself, when you're in that place where you lean on Him, and you keep Him as your God and your Lord, and you honor Him and revere Him, heaven immediately comes to your situation and will minister to you. Heaven is opened. Angels are ministering spirits, are they not? They came and ministered to Him. They came and spoke to Him. They probably congratulated Him. He had passed. He came down full of power. He came down full of power. And all of a sudden, because He came down full of power, He was kingdom minded, kingdom thinking, kingdom set. See, repentance, because it's so personal, so unique to each one of us, what God is trying to do is trying to get us to a place where our failings and our faults and what we're going through, our eating of the bread of the earth, falls away, so I become not self-centered, but kingdom-centered. Kingdom-centered. Jesus had a choice. Could have Jesus turned the stones to bread? Children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, all they did was whinge and say, "Oh, let us go and eat the leeks and the garlics of Israel, of Egypt." And what did God send down to them? Manna. Manna means this. What is it? That's what it means. What is it? Can you live off the what is it's of God? Can you still feed off Him, no matter you haven't got an answer? Can you feed off Him, though you haven't got the solution to your problem? Can you keep going to His table and just say, "Lord, I trust You no matter what. I don't understand what it is. I don't understand what I'm going through. But I refuse to eat the bread of the earth. I want to eat of Your table." Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 9 to 24, you can read it yourself. I'll tell you the story. There's a man that got saved. He was a sorcerer called Simon. They thought he was a man of God because of the mighty things that he did. And then he heard the word and he got saved. Well, the Bible says he believed. And Peter came along and started doing miraculous things in the power and the unction of the Spirit. And Simon said, "Give me this power also." And he wanted to give him some money. Do you remember the story? He wanted to give him some money. I'll just find the scripture because I don't want to take it out of context. I'll read from verse 14 of 8. "Now when the apostles who were of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they had laid hands on them, they received the Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying of hands and the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him," now I want you to listen to what he says. "Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" Verse 21, "That you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." Can you imagine the apostle, lovely apostle Peter, saying this to you? Eh? "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray if God what? If God what? Perhaps. If God perhaps. If God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound with iniquity." That's a real encouraging word, isn't it? You went up for a prophecy, and this is the sort of word you're getting. Then Simon answered and said to "Pray the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon you." What Simon had done was that he asked Peter, he acknowledged his fault. That he had to seek repentance. He had to seek repentance. Then he asked Peter to do the praying for him. Peter told him to repent. Simon asked Peter to do the repenting for him. No one can repent on your behalf. I'm going to say that again. No one can repent on your behalf. You have to do your own repenting. An intercessor or a mother or a father could be praying on your behalf and saying, God, help them find and open doors of opportunity so you hear. But they can't repent on your behalf. And so, repentance is a gift. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you said yes to Him, when you repented, it was not something that was a good idea to you. In fact, it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit stirring something within you to make you feel convicted enough to say, what I've done is wrong and it doesn't please God. I need to repent. Are you with me this morning? It is not just something that we conjure up and say, well, I've come to God and I've said sorry. Sorry to God is not enough. I must repent. In other words, have a change of what? And a change of? And turn. I'll put it like this. Repent comes from an army terminology. Modern soldiers, when they're marching, the sergeant or whoever's doing the parade will say this, about face. Does anyone know what that means? Turn around. In the 15th, 16th and 17th centuries, they never used that word. They used to say this, repent. And they turn around. It's a military term. To repent means to stop walking in the direction you are and change direction. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. Yet they can accompany repentance. But just because a person is not crying or a person is not being, you know, whatever, emotional, doesn't mean they haven't repented. How do I know they repented? Fruit. Fruit. Not tears. Fruit. Fruit. And God is looking for what? What He's looking for on the tree. Fruit. If He doesn't see any fruit, what does He do to the tree? He prunes the tree. Till another season comes. That you might bear what? Fruit. Anyone like to be pruned? None of us like to be pruned. It's actually a lot easier to repent. A lot easier. Repentance will mean humbling. Repentance will mean admission. Repentance will mean that I'm obedient to every word that He's saying. And when I do that, there's an empowerment of the Holy Ghost. The world is waiting for the manifestation of whom? Sons of God. It's in the hidden places that God sees. Jesus was on the mountain all alone. No one was witnessing what He was doing. No one saw Him rebuke the devil. No one saw Him stand on the word. No one saw or hear Him stand on the word. He did it all alone. But there was one person that was watching. His Father. His Father. So when I'm alone sometimes and temptation comes and you think, well, no one really knows, there's one that does know. There's one that does know. Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus hears that Paul is in prison. John's in prison. immediately he picks up the same call of the kingdom. Repent. For what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same sermon should be preached every week. Repent. Shouldn't change. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And immediately Jesus picked it up. Jesus left. He asked his disciples to pick up the same call. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. They're gone. Generation after generation have been preaching the gospel. Same message. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're the generation that I believe will probably see the kingdom. Have I picked up the call? Repent. Repent is not a dirty word. It's a liberating word. It's a freeing word. It's a loving word. That He would grace me enough to be able to even do it. Jesus wants His church to pick up where He left off. I don't want to just come to the river to drink. Give me, Lord. I want to come to repent that I might be empowered. He didn't pick the River Jordan for no reason. Jordan means death to self. Death to self. Death, burial, and resurrection. And we love to drink from the river. Oh God, we just want to drink from You. Oh God, thank You for everything You do. Drink, 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 drink. And all the benefits of God. Drink, drink, drink. Can't get enough. You had to hold something against a brother. Said something against a sister. And when I get caught out, oh, I'm sorry about that. That is not repentance. May I say, if we don't repent, we get disempowered. I'm going to say that again. If there's a lack of repentance in my life, there's a disempowerment. Because guess where I'm stuck at? On the mountain, with the stones and the bread, trying to make a decision, should I or shouldn't I? Instead of saying, Lord, I need to live by every word and bow my knee to the Master. Forgiveness is about you and another person. Repentance is just about you. I want to finish on this. That same church I was at, it was a cult actually. It was a cult. Every Sunday, people would want to get right with people. So they would line up, maybe 30 of them, lining up, waiting to see just one person in the whole church. Me. Just me. About 30. Probably took it an hour and a half for them to get through the line. I think you've got this against me. I think, are you free with me? Do you have the same thing?
Yeah.
I don't believe we're free. And I have to reassure them that I was okay. Next Sunday, I didn't want to go to church the next Sunday. I wanted to have my own office just for people to see me. And then God took me to a scripture in Matthew. The Bible says this, if you know your brother has ought against you, if you know your brother has ought against you, you go to your brother. No, me going to them, and them coming to me. Me going to them. If I know, how do you know? Conviction. You know that you know that you know. God's trying to make you repent. He wants you to fix it. So I got up one Sunday and I said, guys, stop all this rubbish. I'll tell you to come and see me, or I'll come and see you if I've got anything against you. Tradition in church sometimes kills the spirit. And I think what church has done over the last 10, 15 years is dilute repentance. And just say to God, sorry. Have you said sorry to God? Oh, that's enough. That is not enough. Hebrews 12 says this, Esau sought repentance with tears, yet he did not find it. Can you imagine that you can't find repentance? I mean, can you imagine that? And I said, Lord, why couldn't he find repentance? Because he was repenting about everything everyone had done against him. Jacob ripped me off of my birthright. God, you've got to do something about it. God, I'm the firstborn. That should have been mine. He didn't find repentance. Not that repentance was avoiding him. He couldn't find it because his heart wasn't right. He couldn't find it because this wasn't right. He was blaming everyone else for his problem. Was repentance available to him? Yes. Yes. To every man it's available. He couldn't find it because he made it all about someone else instead of himself. Repentance. There's another good side of repentance. It says the gifts and calling of God are without. In other words, God will not turn away from what he's spoken over your life. God will not change his mind what he's spoken over your life. That's what repentance means. To turn away from and change one's mind. Change one's heart. God will not do that. So when he's spoken over you, you can be assured it'll be done. Because he refuses to what? Repent. And all this whole episode of going from the mountain down, being filled with the power of God, is for one reason and one reason only. To see his kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not my house, not my car, not my bank balance, not my feelings, not my fuzz, not my buzz, not my slain in the spirit, not my speaking in tongues. It's all about kingdom. How much does God see kingdom worthy? Cost him his son. Cost him his son. I've come to a place in my Christian walk where I know that I know that I know that I know. God doesn't care if he embarrasses you. He couldn't give a flip about your pride. Yeah. He couldn't give a flip about your attitude. Either change under the conviction of the Spirit, or guess what? I'll still be playing with the bread and the stones, disempowered. Kingdom minus, kingdom priority, kingdom demonstration. Through trust, humility, grace, love, and intimacy. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change one's mind, change one's heart. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm going to make it more personal. The kingdom of God is within you. Repent. I'm not talking about getting a feeling. I'm talking about today, make a decision. Make a decision. Man shall not live by, but by God, help me be obedient to every word. Don't let me choose the words I just want to hear. Let me face the words I don't want to hear. Grace me. Change me. Change me. Help me to be the man that you want me to be. Grace me. I don't have to speak about repentance to anyone else. Don't have to go to a priest. Don't have to go to a confession box. Don't have to go to my wife. Don't have to go to your husband. This is between me and him. They will benefit by the fruit of it. May I say this to married couples especially? Please do not ask your partner if they've repented. Oh, have you repented of that? Please don't say that. Oh, are you right with God? Have you repented about that? Don't say that to your spouse. It's got nothing to do with you. And don't condition your love because of it. Wait for the fruit of it. Wait for fruit. And if there's no fruit, be like that old woman behind my back. Lord, I intercede for him. I pray for him. It's your job to change him, not mine. And I love him for who he is, not what he can become. Let's stand this morning. I can go on like a... God wants some people in here this morning to do some kingdom living. Kingdom power. Kingdom anointing. He's telling you to stop playing with the bread and the stones. You're stuck on the mountaintop because you refuse to bow your knee. It's time to repent. It's time to get it right. What is that which I have to get right? That sin that so easily besets me. That thing that trips me up. Might be a condition of my mouth. Might be a condition of my heart. Might be a judgmental attitude. I don't know what it is. I know mine. I know mine. I've got to ask him for the grace to turn away from it. I choose this day to turn away from it. I turn away from it. Now God, give me the strength to walk away from it. Every step I take towards him is an empowering step. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. That's personal. But what I do want you to do is this. Go to him today. Acknowledge your sorry is not enough. Get it right. You need to go to a brother or a sister. Do it. You do it. Don't wait for them to come and say sorry. You do it. Amen? I've got to come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the gift of repentance this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, above all, we thank you for the conviction of your Spirit. Lord, you said you chasten those whom you love. So God, this morning we acknowledge every word, not some words, but every word that comes from your mouth. That you are Lord and you are our God. Lord, we want to say sorry for playing with the breads of the earth and the stones of this earth. Lord, we want you to empower us that we truly become sons of God in this hour, walking in the power and the demonstration of your Spirit. That God, this world might be touched by you. That God, we would see signs accompany your word. We'd see the demonstration of your power. Not sometimes. Anytime it's needed. God, I thank you that you would give us eyes to see as you see. God, I ask you this morning that as you change us, that, Lord, it would bless those around us, that they might see the Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you for your grace, the enduring power and the ability to do. We thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus, that we want to come up and we want to go on. We want to see, Father, lives touched, families restored, marriages healed. We want to see people saved. As they hear that word, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God bless you this morning. Pray have a great week, successful week, wonderful week. Before I close the meeting, I need to pray for Carmen and Cornell and set them in as youth pastors this morning. They've done over 3 months. They've seen the youth group grow from 3 people to 26 in just over 3 months. Amazing job. And a lot of them are unsaved. So we're going to set them in this morning and acknowledge that and just release them and the mantle on them to fulfill the call. Amen. I'd love you to stretch forth your hands, believe with us this morning. Ask the oversight to come. We're going to pray for them. Anoint them. Come, Carmen and Cornell. All right? And everyone else, could you just stretch forth your hands this morning? Let's believe God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory this morning, Jesus. Father, we thank you right now, Father, what you're doing through this couple, Father, ministering to the lives, Father, of the lost, to the young. And God, we ask you, Lord, for your mantle to be upon them, Father. Amen. And the commission, Father, for this call in the name of Jesus. We, Lord, as your oversight, your overseers of this house, Father, release that over them. Amen. In Jesus' name, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, Father. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.